Today we have a very hot topic, black tax. There are people that cannot afford the school to do these things. And because they cannot afford it, they are made to feel bad. But it's your responsibility to take care of five younger siblings on a salary of 2,000 rand. That's when I'm like, that's not fair.
We want them to feel bad before they ask. So, because it's a tough one, really.
What's up, everybody? My name is Nozibele Kamgana Mayaba. Welcome to Don't Hold Back. This is where we say it loud. It's a very special day for me because this is our 10th episode. Today we have a very hot topic. Some call it obligation, some call it our responsibility, right? Others have already have a term for it, black tax. Where does it start? Where does it end? Is it our responsibility to make sure that we manage the expectation that comes with, you know, working? And to unpack all of this, I have a very special guest. Hey, Betuna, he's my husband. He's the yin to my yang. Okay. He's the guy that wakes me up at 5 a.m. to go and run. Yay! Hi, baby.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, we must behave, ne? This is a very professional setting. Liz. Okay, listen, usually, you know, on the show, a guest brings in a snack, but now I brought in a snack, and that's a biltong, but I'll get into the why much later on. Now, let's get the ball rolling. When it comes to black tax, I want to take it back, particularly when it comes to you. Did you always know that you are going to be the breadwinner of the family? Where did it start for you?
No, I didn't know that I'm going to be the breadwinner. But I realized as time went by that the responsibility will be for me to ensure that I take care of the whole family. Because I realized my older brothers that were actually just not there for the family. So when I started working already, I mean, they were working, but there was nothing that was coming from home and nothing that was being taken care of. So it was upon me to make sure that, to ensure that we have a home. I look after it.
Was that instilled in you? The reason why I'm asking is because usually someone else would say, ne, if my brothers did not take up the initiative to take care of home, then why should I be different? So was the responsibility given on you? But the brothers are not doing what they're supposed to do, so you are the only hope.
Yeah, so we got the same education. Let's start from there. We got the same opportunities. I think I'm just one of those that I was able to see the reverse side of misbehaving, and in particular, alcohol.
Okay.
And because my mom saw that, she then took advantage of that. And then, you know, used me to make sure that, you know, I look after not only my younger brothers, but also, one of the brothers that was ahead of me, take care of him as well.
There are countless stories of you when you were growing up. And some of them are heartbreaking for me to hear. There's one in particular where you told me, I think, your umama, my mom-in-law, had been working at another town and you had been left with a younger brother and one of your nephews. And, the younger brother fell into a pit.
Yes.
A toilet pit. And how old were you at the time?
I was 7.
What happened?
So the kids were playing outside, and obviously I was looking after my niece and my younger brother. As I was, you know, preparing meal inside, so my niece came running and said, "There's this thing that has happened," and we then eventually called the people from the location, Elali Noganya location, and whilst older people were figuring out as to what they're gonna do. Because, you know, it was a bit longer. Then I volunteered,
to go down the pit.
Down, and because I was a little bit lighter as well. And he was 3 years back then.
Now, The reason I'm talking about this story is because I've been one of the people that has been very transparent of, yes, the responsibility, the financial responsibility of taking care of our families and the pleasure of seeing our families, you know, getting from one level to the next because of our contribution. However, there's also the psychological part and the burden that it gives someone. For you, do you feel like there were parts where you felt it was a burden to take care of your family, whether it was financially, whether it was psychologically, and how did it affect you?
Yeah, look, and no one prepares you for these things. At the age of 23, I felt that, you know what, I need a way out of this, but I just didn't know how.
Okay.
And because I started dating a little later, at the age 20, so at 25, I got married. And the reason behind that was that I just wanted to have things that are attached to me, in other words, my own home, so that I don't have this responsibility. Okay. Of looking after somebody else's so home.
Okay.
So that's what basically happened.
So if I hear you right, mm-hmm. one of the reasons that you married quite early mm-hmm. Was to run away from that responsibility.
Precisely.
And to finally have that, you know, reasoning. But I can look, I also have my own family to take care of.
Precisely.
How did the family take that?
Yeah, no, they didn't take that kindly. And obviously, I mean, from 1,000 rand that I would use at home, it meant that maybe it's a quarter of that amount that I would spend at home.
Okay.
So it really, you know, impacted or affected them heavily.
And now we met much later on and went into a relationship, also got married. It's funny because we have more or less a similar, you know, background. And what I mean about that is that although we the youngest in the mm-hmm. family, but we took up more of the responsibility of taking care of the household.
Yes.
And then there's sometimes a nice thing about putting those two people together because you know they are both responsible,
yeah.
you know, in individuals. But also there's a pressure about, okay, not only do you now have to deal with Nozi's family,
mm-hmm.
you also now have to deal with Sku's family,
mm-hmm.
right? I also have my own perception and opinion of how this went when we started, you know, during our first years of marriage. But I want to hear from you. When you now got into now the second marriage with me,
mm-hmm.
What did you think you were going to do different, to manage all those expectations? But regardless of whether you married or not, you still need to build.
Yeah, well, there's a good and a bad side of looking after a home mm. or a family or somebody else's responsibility. And one thing that I learned was that, so when we met, I needed to understand what is it that you are actually responsible for.
Okay.
So that in planning, as we start our own home, I know exactly how much money. Mm. Now, I'm talking rents and cents. How much money is actually going to be spent there? And in those things, key questions were those things important? Are they necessary? Anything that is outside these definition. So I needed to make sure that, you know what? No, this mm-hmm. one is put aside because we wouldn't sacrifice our own life for things that are nice to have
mm.
on the other side. I think that was very key for us. And we have actually mastered that because all the time there are always calls asking for this and this and this,
mm.
but we always ask those key questions. Is it just a nice to have thing? Is it something that's important and necessary to have?
Yeah. Mm. And at first, I mean, we've come a long way, definitely, and we see the benefits of it. But at first, those conversations were very difficult.
Yeah, very difficult.
Because also, you've had more experience than I've had.
Mm.
And I had to now start the conversation of your 25-year-old version
mm.
where I my family felt, the money that you were giving
must
us,
continue.
It must continue as well, you know. And then also my family feeling to some degree, but now that I'm married, I want to take care of, you know, the other family or just us two more than I'm taking care of them.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting. So to anyone that is listening, that is married, that still needs to navigate this whole financial responsibility from their families or their in-laws, what are some of the mechanisms that you would just like to talk about? For example, I know one of the things that we had discussed is, okay, if my family wants money, if my mom had to call now and need money, it doesn't come from me. It comes from you.
The facilitator.
Yes.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If mom-in-law calls and asks for money from you, it comes from me. And the reason for that was because we are trying to build this narrative with them to say it's no longer about unozi. It's no longer about usku. It's about these two people that are married and making a decision together.
And that you don't want to divide them. I mean, look where we are now. So those calls are that we used to get in the middle of the month, we don't, because they know when I call school, hey, Uza is going to say, hey, no, Z, I must speak to my wife firstly, and then my wife is going to facilitate this. So as much as we do that deliberately, we want them to feel bad before they ask. So because you think twice, yeah, okay, let me call them. I'm probably... we'll have to wait, and whilst I'm waiting, the money is going to come from this side. So who am I going to thank? So it's just the psychological part of it. And that has helped immensely.
I want to go back to the question that I asked earlier on, or something that I touched on, is it's a pleasure making sure that our families are taken care of. I mean, whether it's buying a house, yes, whether it's building, elusikisiki. I mean, I don't know how many years you've worked for your family and you've built them a house. I bought mom a house, paid it off, and all of those things. But I sometimes feel there's a level of us overlooking the psychological part of these responsibilities, because there are people that cannot afford the school to do these things. And because they cannot afford it, they are made to feel bad. But it's your responsibility to take care of five younger siblings. It's your responsibility to take care of the entire household on a salary of 2,000 rand. That's when I'm like, that's not fair. Because at the end of the day, this is not why you raised this person. You are not raising this person to take care of other siblings. What's your take on that?
Yeah, that's it's a tough one, really. And, in between, I always say we have a choice whether or not to support, and how far do we go. So I'll give you an example. So I have older brothers who have kids all over. So from time to time, because they know me, and in their mind, they think that I'm doing well because of the wife who's popular. So you get these calls all the time. Hey, Damni, I need this and this and this. Can you please do it for me? So the question is, as much as it's tempting to help, and if I have something, but if I start doing it now, how many more kids that are gonna come and then ask? Because there are many of these boys. So what's key, or what is key, is to just define what really is family and who matters the most. Who is really close to your bloodline? Because you'll end up helping the whole community.
And sacrificing yourself.
And sacrificing in the process. And it's not a nice thing to do at all. So I've had to really define. And in my definition, it's my mom and my brothers. They are kids. I, unfortunately, especially now that they still are alive, because I mean, I would end up having only 5 cents in my pocket. I can't afford.
I like what you said earlier on. Once again, define who is who. And secondly, also define the need. Define the need. Is it necessary or is something that's nice to have? And if it's nice to have, then it's going to be nice when there's money. Unfortunately, when there's no money, then it goes back to what is the need. I think that's the crux, actually. Because I honestly, at first, when I was trying to manage all these expectations, I'm trying to make everyone happy.
It's nice
when everyone is
luxury.
Happy.
That's luxury. Just key things. It's roof, food, school. Transport, look at the distance.
Okay.
Yeah, no, if it's less
you
than
are 10 harsh.
If it's less than 10 kilometers, a person can walk.
You are definitely harsh. Yeah. No, honestly, yeah. I think that's one of the things that I had to learn, especially when we got together in Amish, because the reason why, guys, we discuss these things is it can have a heavy burden on a marriage if you do not discuss these things, if you do not manage these things. We've had, you know, a friend that has been married, and this one is quite funny because she is black and the husband is white. And the husband being white, it does not know this responsibility, because as soon as they're 18, they're out of the house taking care of themselves. Now this 30-year-old gets calls, they need money, and the husband is like, why are you taking care of these people? Why? Because it's not your responsibility. So when it comes to marriage, once again, can you just repeat the key thing when it comes to marriage and being on the same page when it comes to financial responsibilities of two families?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is based on what we have done. I mean, we have had to sit down and have a proper conversation as to things that matters the most to us. Because, you know, sacrificing that the life that we want to live as a result of these things can have a ripple effect or a huge impact along the line. Mm-hmm. So we needed to clearly, you know, set the scene and define exactly what is it that we want. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that if we have a few extra rents, if we support, how much do we support? And also we need to make sure that we balance that. We can't always go according to grace. Mm-hmm. Said grace does not apply in everything. So you need to really be specific and be deliberate in ensuring that, you know, you balance these things. So that definition of us, how we want to live our life and how we're going to support the extended families and who in these extended families that you're going to support, that was very key for us.
Mm-hmm. Just before I go into the rapid fire questions, I'm thinking about, you remember one of the strategies that you taught me? When someone asks you for money, do not give them on that day.
Ah, yeah. Delay it.
Why should I delay it?
So, because the minute you do that, you'll always get those calls, and that person is going to expect that money. You just need to work on the expectation. So my brother, I mean, you know, my younger brother used to call and say, hey, I need 300 rand now. And I used to do it immediately. And I realized that his problems, they cannot be urgent and important. And yet he does not have anything. Mm. So let me deal with that. Even if I know that I'll give him money, but let not give him exactly at the time that he needs. At least maybe after 5 days. Say,
I can. You are
called tough love.
You're very good when it comes to tough love. I'm more, oh shame, man, school, just give it to him now. Okay, listen, we are going to now go into our rapid fire questions. Don't think about it. I'm going to be asking you a few questions. Okay. I'm asking you these questions about me.
Okay.
Yeah. So, number one, what's my favorite meal?
After 9 p.m.
Just my favorite meal, whatever.
So, all these chips, biltongs and sweets, everything, after 9 p.m. Up until 12.
Before 9?
Before 9, I only now that you eat agriculture, so is it salad and
salad.
Things like, now?
Salad.
It's only now.
I've always
because you're working on the...
Yes, on the summer boat.
Yeah.
Okay, oh gosh, I don't like this question, but describe my driving style.
Yo.
Please describe it. Please.
Okay, the driving style, I just need to be wide awake all the time because, wow, it burns the fuel.
I do not.
The car burns the fuel. So you just know she does not drive at the average speed.
What's the average speed? What's the average
speed? Average 110, 120.
I drive at 110 at 120.
Oh.
Okay, listen. When was our first date?
Second week of June 2016.
I don't play with
think,
second
I think
week
between
of June.
The 7th. When was? But you're going on a graduation the next day. It was on the 7th of June.
Whatever. Okay. I'm not accepting this. I don't think that's true. I think it was May.
No.
School, we met in April. So it must have been May. A month
you
later.
You were going on a graduation. You pretended as if you're going overseas at home. You brought in your big suitcase.
Whatever. Okay. What is the color of my dress on my, on the first date?
Oh, I pink all over. Even when we got married, the broom was pink.
Whatever. You know what? I didn't want to have you as a guest.
You're honest with the broom.
What
Remember,
broom?
When we're staying in the south, the broom that you bought and the...
Oh yeah, true.
It was pink.
Now that I recall, I actually wanted to renovate our whole bedroom to pink. That's always been my dream. Okay. I don't like this question as well. This is the last one. What is my favorite film?
Yo, Miss Quentin Geniality. She's saved it in your laptop. And also on the TV, you've played it, I don't know how many times, I lost count. But when we got married, you had watched it over 50 times.
I know
and
every line.
And then we're 2019.
I know every line.
And you pretend as if you don't know.
I know.
That's an interesting thing.
And sometimes, can I be honest, sometimes when I ask you to watch a movie with me, most of the time, 99.9% I've already watched it, but then I pretend like I haven't watched it.
And you will laugh.
Okay, it's your turn. Ask me a question.
Where was I born?
Lusikisik. Ekosa.
Okay, what was my nickname growing up?
Oh my gosh. For some reason, I don't know why I'm remembering Gelehlekisa, but that's Jacob Zuma's, what's that? Lebonde.
Ngidi. So how many siblings do I have and what are their names?
Okay, in total, you are 7. Those that are alive are 4, mm-hmm. 3 passed away, 2 sisters, 1 brother. Okay. In terms of the name, Bukolani, Budmonabisi, Sabelo, Skumbuzo. I don't know the other 3 that passed away. To be fair, I've never met them.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Forgiven. It's Maxwell.
Yes.
Harrison, Lawrence, Goodman, Niceman, Darlington.
Oh my word. I cannot.
Where would I be on a random Saturday morning?
Cycling, swimming, or running.
Okay.
See? I know. I know. Okay. So as we're wrapping up, the show, talking about, you know, expectations, financial expectations, managing them with our families. Once again, I think the last few things from my side is, we are 2 responsible people. We'll always take care of our families, but we've seen the need to put in place boundaries, so that it does not compromise our own relationship, our own marriage. Mm-hmm. Because isn't there, like, things that pertain to families can be very sensitive.
Very.
And can either make or break a marriage. And one of the things that I appreciate, I think, about our relationship, and I'll continue to say this, is how we continue to protect each other, from our own families. There's nothing that my family can say about you, even at your absence, because they know I will always protect you. And that's how I feel also about your family. Whenever you're not even around, I don't feel uncomfortable that someone is going to tell me something because you're not there, because you've already put in that boundary for me. So I appreciate that about you. Is there anything else you'd like to add for couples out there that are struggling to just manage all of these things? There's a double story house, MTATA, that still needs fixing, and they don't know where they're going to get the money from, but everyone is looking at them.
Yeah, I think in the same way, they would like to live a certain life. It is important that they firstly ask themselves, what is it that they want to achieve today and tomorrow? The second thing is that when they define or put those measures in place, they need not to shift the responsibility. Now, let me be specific around there. You find that between me and you, the responsibility shifted from our parents. So they expected us to do certain things for them. And yet those were their own responsibilities.
Okay.
So it's therefore important that we manage those whilst you are preparing yourself for a better future. The minute you know how and what is it that you want to achieve, it's much easier. to address whatever issues that may impact your existence in that marriage.
Mm.
So I think that's, for me, is very key, in that in anything that you do and you prepare ahead, you do not shift the responsibility. The responsibility sits with you, with that right person.
I like that.
So earlier on, you mentioned something. You said, folks that are different in our color, they, at 18, they go out and they become responsible on their own. That's how they are taught as they grow up. But not all of them. Sometimes circumstances change.
Yeah.
But it's the parents that never delegated the responsibilities. They made sure that they teach the child very well and prepare that child for the future.
Mm.
And then that's my view.
I like that, because in my mind, I think the one thing that I'm getting is, do not be an enabler, rather empower.
Mm.
So do not be the person that enables this person to continue to ask money or not do anything, because they know at the end of the month they're going to get money from their brother or their sister.
Yeah.
However, be more empowering. How can this person make money possibly for themselves?
Mm.
And at the end of the day, we are not responsible, let's say, to raise, you know, siblings or any other person, because it was not our responsibility in the first place.
Yeah.
We are there to assist where we can with whatever resources that we can.
Yeah.
I like that. And a nice topic. Okay. Now that we're ending the show, just before that, I brought in Biltong. Okay, because I felt like, you know, after 9, when we've done everything, and we like putting in a nice movie, it's one of those snacks that we really enjoy together with our non-alcoholic champagne or wine. So yeah, there's no deep story behind the biltong. It's just that it's my favorite
snack.
Eat
it as a snack or as food?
I eat it as everything.
Because
I eat it as everything. Yeah. There's something after 9 and me eating.
You start eating down the stairs to the kitchen all the time.
To be fair, it's not that heavy food. It's like snacks.
It's got lots of calories.
Now you tell me. Okay, can you eat the biltong with me? We're gonna take one piece each.
Okay,
let's do it. And you know they've been in the house for like about, at least I've been good over the last couple of weeks. These ones have been in the house for about a month or so.
The interesting thing is that you hid them. So you're hiding them from yourself, not even from me.
I know. Because I know I'm all, and then I can't find them sometimes. I'm like, they were here. I don't know where I should find them. Anyway, thank you so much, Skoo, for joining me today, for such a very thoughtful conversation. Now I realize why your mother called you good man. You know, you should have also been called wise man.
Man to love. Wise men.
Wise men. Is there a wise man in the family?
No.
Yeah, good man, wise man.
Nice man.
No, wise man. Also suit you well. Anyway, thank you so much, honey. I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this 10th episode. Until next time.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And that is where we leave it for today. This was Don't Hold Back, where we say it loud, a podcast in collaboration with DW, Jacaranda FM and East Coast Radio. You can catch this episode and many other episodes on wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. My name is Nozibele Kamganamayaba. It has been such a great pleasure. I'll see you next time.